We're reading from John chapter 8, starting at verse 12. And though we are only going to look at verse 12 today, I want to read this section, because it is a section, part of the story that all fits together. So John chapter 8, verse 12 through 20. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony, therefore, is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true." I'm sorry, let me go back and pick that up, verse 15. "You judge according to the flesh. I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I am he who testifies about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." So they were saying to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. He was talking to religious people, people who knew the law, people who were well trained in the religious practices and beliefs of Judaism, people who practiced their religion very faithfully, fervently, were very serious minded. And yet he says these things to them. I bring that up because today I want to talk about something that, in my opinion, is not understood or well understood by many believers. And in my opinion, it ought to be. We can be religious, we can be Christian, we can be serious-minded and still have a shallow view of the faith and of God and of the Scriptures. And I hope today that we will see the value of going beyond whatever shallowness we may have to whatever is deep and deeper still as we understand God and His Word. Let's pray together. Father, talk to us. Give us ears to hear. Help us think. Help us think seriously and deeply. May we understand truth in its larger, even more meaningful ways than we do already. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The words I want to talk about today are the words of Jesus, where he says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." For me, this is the most profound statement in this section of Scripture, verses 12 through 20. And the reason I say this is because this statement clearly tells us that Jesus himself is the light of the world. And if we will follow him, that is, if we will do what he says we are to do, if we will think the way he says we are to think, if we will behave as he says we ought to behave, then the result is that we will break free of the darkness with all its falsehoods, distortions of the truth, ungodly allurements, and anti-God and anti-faith ideologies, we will break free of that darkness. And in breaking free of the darkness, we will begin to live in the light. In the light of life. Rather than in the darkness of life. And to begin living in the light of life is not to wait until we pass from this world into the next. That will be a transformation. There is no doubt about that. But what Jesus is talking about is beginning to live today, now, in this world, in the light of life rather than in the darkness of life. Now you may be wondering why this is so profound, or why at least I think it is. Well, consider this. It may be true that there are those in the body of Christ who speak the words, Jesus is the light of the world. And they speak them as if they are a Christian cliche or an empty platitude. They're words, and they could define the words, but they don't really know what the words mean. But the reality is, this statement by Jesus is both the foundation and the path to living the life God created us to live. And Jesus died and rose again in order for us to live here in this world as we prepare for the next. For example, when you believe these words, that Jesus is the light of the world, and you respond by wholeheartedly applying Jesus' teaching and his example in the most practical ways possible to every area of your life, the result is a transformed mind. You think differently. The result is a remade personality. You become a different person. The result is a radically different set of desires. What you desired before, you no longer desire. You have different desires. The result is freedom from ungodly and irrational fears. If you've never pondered this, just talk to the people around you at work or in your neighborhood or in your extended family and begin to discover how many of us live by irrational fears. We're afraid of something we ought not to be afraid of, that there is no rational reason to be afraid of, and yet we build a whole set of beliefs and practices around that fear, and it affects our lives. Walking in the light of Christ frees us from those kinds of fears. Walking in the light that Christ is will change our speech. I have for many years, I don't remember, thinking differently that I ought to tell people the truth. But in being changed into someone that is more and more like Christ, I have learned that I can tell the truth in respectful ways. I can tell the truth without having the other person have to agree with me. I can tell the truth without having to win the argument. I can tell the truth and walk away and let the other person decide how they're going to respond to it. I don't have to win. I don't have to use anger, put downs, sarcasm, other things to get my point across. I can still tell the truth, but do it in a respectful, gracious, kind way. Changes our speech. It reforms our behavior and it brings us to spiritual maturity. And I agree that this will not happen all at once. But it will happen if this is where we're going. If believing and living according to the truth that Jesus is the light of the world, if we believe that, and we will head in this direction. And if you go in this direction, you will progressively gain a life that is lived in the light. That's what Jesus says. You'll no longer walk in the darkness. You begin to live a life that is lived in the light. You will no longer be living according to the foolish and sinful and selfish ways of the world. You will no longer live according to the irrational, senseless, self-destructive, and relationship-damaging passions, longings, fears that come from your human nature. And you will no longer hold the devil's pleasures and treasures as if they are worth pursuing and obtaining. It will bring you out of the darkness and enable you to live in the light. Now, I suspect you already know this. But let me remind you that it is the darkness, whether in whole or in part, and I doubt that any of us in this room, even the worst of us, lives in total darkness. We embrace at least some of the light. But I want to remind you that it is the darkness, whether in whole or in part, that blinds us to the truth. So that regardless of what we hold to be true about God, we also hold that the devil's lies are truth, at least a few of them. And the world's ways are the path of life, at least some of them. And our fleshly, sinful desires are natural and therefore reasonable. We just can't help ourselves. It's the way we are. It's the way we've been made. You see, it is the darkness that dulls our conscience and alters our reasoning ability so that we lose the ability to discern good from evil in all situations. So we can discern it in some, that's true, but are we able to discern it in all? We should be able. When we walk in the light, the more we are in it, the better we get at discerning good from evil. It is the darkness that dulls our conscience. It is the darkness that alters our reasoning. And we lose that ability to discern right from wrong, love from selfishness, humility from pride, rational from irrational thinking, wisdom from foolishness, holiness from unholiness. We lose that ability to discern the difference in all situations. I have probably met with more people since summer at one time than I have ever before at one single time. And all of these are professing believers, followers of Jesus Christ, intentionally so. And it is common. So common, one would think it's normal. But normal means that's the way it ought to be. It is common for followers of Jesus Christ not to be able to tell the difference in all situations. I sat with a couple, husband and wife, and they had had a good-sized fight. And they were telling me about it. I mean, I've been working with them, and so they came and told me about it to see how we could work it out. And what was interesting is that the husband was really upset that the wife was doing the same thing she'd always been doing for some number of years. And the wife was really upset that the husband was responding in the same way, which was a very unloving, unkind, inappropriate way, in the same way he'd always been responding since they'd been married. So here they are, each having a repetitive behavior issue, not seeing their own, only seeing the others. How does this happen? The darkness. The darkness affects the way we think, the way we interpret events, the way we look at life. So when I pointed it out, of course they could see it then, but we ought to be able to see these things without having to have somebody point it out to us. And we see such things by walking in the light. It is the darkness that directs our heart and mind and will toward every kind of evil. The evil that you do may have nothing to do with the evil that the people around you do. You may never do such horrible things as the people around you do, but your evil is just as evil. Christ had to die for it, just like he had to die for mine. And it does damage to you and the world around you just as much as your neighbor's does. It is the darkness that prompts us to behave in ways that damage or even destroy relationships. First, between God and us. You don't damage a relationship between you and another person without first damaging the relationship between God and you. I do not mistreat my wife without first telling God I'm not going to go his way. Oh, I may not stop and say to myself, no, right now I'm going to tell God I'm not going to go his way, but that's what I'm doing. I must damage the relationship between God and I before I damage the relationship between my wife and I. That's the darkness. It prompts us in that direction. It is the darkness that drives distrust of God. It is the darkness that fills the void left by distrust of God with a form of self-protection that places the well-being and security of self over love and over true, meaningful, honest, and intimate relationships. We all want to be loved. But when we distrust God, we end up protecting ourselves in ways that damage our ability to love others. It's the darkness that keeps us from seeing the truth of that. It is the darkness that drives self-rule, irresponsibility, laziness, disrespect, arrogance, hostility. And of course, this list could go on for a long time. I'm sure you could add things of your own really well. But my goal is only to give you the picture, to give you the idea, to help you see that it is the darkness that makes it impossible to live a quality, satisfying, fulfilling, inwardly peaceful, mentally and emotionally healthy life. In contrast to the darkness, it is the light that frees us from everything that wars against love, everything that wars against righteousness and justice. It is the light that frees us from everything that inflicts unnecessary suffering and loss on others. If everybody around you walked in the light, you would have that perfect life. They might not, because you might not be walking in the light, but you would because they were. It is the light that frees us from ungodly anger, resentment, bitterness, irrational fears, selfishness, sexual immorality, every kind of addiction, hatred, gluttony, greed, deception, theft, covetousness, envy, jealousy, strife, impatience, unkindness, meanness, abuse of speech, gossip, malice, homosexuality, idolatry, and everything else that seeks to destroy what God created and his purposes for creating it. It is the light that frees us from the oppression and destructive effects that the darkness wants to bring about within us and outside of us. Jesus put it this way. Think of the thief as the darkness here. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come, Jesus is the light, I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10. Do you see the contrast? The contrast between the purpose and efforts of darkness, steal, kill, and destroy, and the purpose and efforts of light, have life and have it abundantly. The darkness is always and only your enemy. I knew those words for many years, but it wasn't until I got serious about killing off all the known sin in my life, not just some of it, but actually fighting against all of it, that I began to realize, I began to admit to myself, I began to say to myself, the darkness, the devil, the world, the flesh, it is only and always my enemy. It is never my friend. Only the light, only Jesus Christ is your friend. Darkness always, always leads to more troubles, to destruction and death. Light may include suffering. I will not deny that. And one day maybe you can see that the suffering is for your good. It actually changes you in ways that makes life worth living. So the light isn't free of troubles, but it is the only way to joy, to that abundant life that Jesus speaks of. So, do you want joy and contentment and inward peace regardless of the circumstances? Walk in the light. Get to know the Word of God well enough that you can call upon what it says in situation after situation and deal with that situation according to what God has already told us about how we are to live, how we are to think, how we are to speak. Walk in the light. Do you want contentment and inward peace regardless of the circumstances? Carefully, thoughtfully, intentionally, and as fully as possible, follow the teachings and example of Jesus Christ. Do you want to do your part in building and maintaining healthy, meaningful, enjoyable, honest, and mutually satisfying relationships? Live according to the light. Relate to the people around you according to the light. They may not respond according to the light. They may respond according to darkness. But you have given them the opportunity to come into something that's worth having by you dealing with them according to the light. Do you want a mindset and attitude that counts it all joy when trials and difficult times comes your way? Do you want such a mindset and attitude that loves your enemies? That prays for those who mistreat you? Walk in the light. Live according to the light. Do you want to mourn over your sin? Humbly seek forgiveness for even minor infractions? And be known as someone who takes responsibility for your behavior? Walk in the light, and you will. You cannot walk in the light and walk in darkness at the same time. We can walk in part of the light and walk in part of the darkness at the same time. And it may take you a while to walk in most or all of the light, as much as is possible in this life. But you cannot walk in the light and walk in darkness at the same time. It's impossible. Wherever you are committed to walking in the light, you will be free of the darkness. Now, to me, the sad thing is, for us Christians, is that we can know this truth. And we can know that this truth sets us free. There is tremendous freedom in being free of anxiety and anger and bitterness. There is tremendous freedom in not living in fear, but facing life and dealing with it in a confident way. There is tremendous freedom in humility. Tremendous freedom in letting people think of you however they want to. We can even come to Jesus in faith believing. And yet, as I've already said, selectively hold to parts of this truth while rejecting other parts. We can live part in the light and partly in the darkness. And the sad thing is that we do that because we believe. We believe that what the darkness offers, at least in those areas where we hold on to it, is better than what God offers. That's what we actually believe. You may never say that to yourself. You may never admit that to yourself until you stand in front of God one day at the final judgment. I think we'll all admit the truth about all these things. But that is the truth of what you're doing. You are saying that the way of darkness is better in this area and that area. I've done this. I know this is what we do. This is what I have done. Jesus addresses this kind of mixed up thinking, this kind of double-mindedness, when he says to Nicodemus that the light has come into the world. However, men have loved the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. They like what the darkness offers. For everyone who does evil hates the light. All right, so it's really easy, and this has been very helpful for me to think about it this way. It's very easy to say, well, I don't love the darkness. Well, how about looking at it this way? So, whoever walks in darkness, even partially, in that part, they hate that part of the light. So, if I'm clinging to the darkness in certain areas of my life, what I am doing is I am hating the light that would remove that darkness. I may not hate all the light. Hope you don't. But the reality is I'm hating that part of it. And I do not come to the light for fear that my deeds will be exposed for what they are. My guess is all of us know at least someone who lives in denial. Denial of reality. Denial of the truth. Why? Because if they face the truth, they would have to admit they are wrong. And there are people in this world who just cannot admit they are wrong, because for them to admit they're wrong would be to lose whatever good they have. Not knowing that it's better to admit you're wrong and get back on the right path or get on the right path than to keep playing the charade. In Matthew 6:22-23, Jesus says this: the eye is the lamp of the body. We take in information through the eye gate. Today, you know, you're listening, so we'll add the ear just for today's point. So the eye and the ear, in essence, are the lamp of the body. It's how we take in information. It's how we take in truth, how we take in falsehood. So then if your eye is clear, if your eye is unhindered by the lies and deceptive promises of darkness, if it's clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, that is, if you prefer darkness over light, and for the sake of today's teaching, again, don't think of it as black or white, whole, everything or nothing. How about just part? If you prefer some darkness over some light, then your body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? That too is a profound statement. When we deceive ourselves into believing that darkness is better than light, who can convince us otherwise, because we've convinced ourselves of a lie? It's one thing to be taken in by a salesman and have somebody else come along and point out the lies of the salesman. It's another thing to lie to yourself. It is really hard to overcome self-deception. The darkness is really great. You have to fight hard to overcome self-deception. And the darkness is great is because what we are inside determines our character. It determines our beliefs. It determines our values and the principles by which we live. What we are inside determines our mental and emotional stability. It determines our spiritual health. It determines our ability to live a peace-ruled, love-controlled, godly life. So if what we are inside is being influenced by darkness in any amount, then we are, to that degree, in a mess. And we will continue to live a messy, sin-stained, foolish, spiritually immature life, at least in those areas. I like these words from James. I've pondered them many times. And they help me think about this and help me come to my senses when I'm being stupid enough to think that the darkness is better than the light, and I have thought that way too many times. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. Clean up your behavior. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your minds, you double-minded. Get rid of the double-mindedness. Be single-minded. Weep, mourn. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. There is value in coming to that place where you feel bad enough about treating God so poorly that you weep over your sin. Great value. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Jesus is the light of the world. It can be a cliche, or it can be a truth that you really understand and embrace. And he's not the light of the world in the sense of just evangelism or just eternal life. He's the light of the world for how you relate to life in every area of your life, in every moment of your life today. You have to decide that it's not just an empty cliche, but the truth, and live accordingly. And we are invited to do that. And so let me end where we started. Jesus is saying to you, to me, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light, the truth, the way of life.